The people of the United Kingdom have voted to leave the European Union. So some market and economic volatility can be expected as this process unfolds.
It was the worst one-day drop ever. Global markets losing more than $2 trillion in paper wealth on Friday, according to data from S&P Global. The bottom line, the Brexit vote costing investors $2 trillion.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09. Today is Tuesday. It's June 28th, 2016. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. A little bit more to be happy about this morning, at least if you're in the markets or if you have a portfolio or retirement account. The numbers are up today. Markets around the globe seem to be stabilizing. I speak hopefully not too soon about this. The Dow futures in this country are higher this morning. Also today, markets in Europe seem to be rebounding as well. Both of the FTSEs up about 4% on the 200 and on the 100 about 2.5%. Here in this country, Dow futures are up about 202 points this morning. That's good enough for a percent. S&P NASDAQ futures higher by a percent as well. Let's get you going first on some intel from around the world from the WGN market desk. And first and foremost are those markets. Asian stocks rebounded from early losses. Investors started shaking off the jitters from Brexit. The dollar gained against the yen, slipped against the euro. Benchmark U.S. crude oil above $47 a barrel. In London, the Fitch Ratings Company has downgraded the United Kingdom's credit rating by one notch following the vote to leave the European Union. The move to AA from AA Plus follows the decision earlier by Standard & Poor's to drop the country's sovereign rating by two notches to AA from AAA. Fitch believes the uncertainty over the referendum is going to induce, in their words, an abrupt slowdown in short-term GDP growth as businesses defer investments and consider changes to the legal and regulatory environment. About that this morning, there has been a speech at the European Union by one of the leaders of that organization, Janine Hennis-Plasschaert, who has told her fellow members this.
The 23rd of June 2016 will go down in history as a day that shook the United Kingdom and the European Union. A majority of the British voters have expressed their wish to leave the EU. Following this result, which we respect, there is deep, deep regret. But there is also a strong resolve to show unity in our response. However, let me underscore the fact that today I represent the full Council, all 28 members of it. Until a UK exit is finalised, the UK will be a member of the Council with all the rights and obligations that derive from this. Now, the United Kingdom has been a respected member of the European Union since 1973, working with member states and institutions to build and strengthen a secure and prosperous Europe. The outcome of the referendum therefore marks a watershed moment in Europe's history. But history and geography cannot be changed. The UK is and will always be a European nation. We share the same values, we harbour the same hopes, and we'll continue to work together as partners and allies.
From Brussels this morning, the European Union's Janine Hennis-Plasschaert speaking to her fellow European Union members. She went on to say, we all need a more convincing European Union. And that's our kickoff point this morning. Let's bring in CNN Money editor at large, Heather Long, by Heather Long at Twitter, at CNN Money. Heather, good morning. Good a place as any to start. We all need a more convincing European Union. It speaks volumes about what might lie ahead, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. Although it also speaks volumes that there really isn't a plan yet. And that's certainly what sent markets down on Friday and again on Monday. Although, as you noted, there looks like we're going to get a little bit of a breather today just to reassess what's going on, what the future is. There was a great Wall Street analyst quote, and he said, look, it's like a giant black box. There's just really no plan at the moment, and that's what's making it so difficult to assess what is the impact, not just on the UK and the European economy and markets, but also on global markets. So even countries like China had to react. They set their currency at the lowest level since 2010 yesterday as they're trying to figure out what all this means for them.
And I'm seeing on the Associated Press and Reuters wires today, I actually did a double take because I thought it was from yesterday, and Angela Merkel from Germany has again said that there will be no talks with Britain on leaving the EU until Britain starts formal procedures to do that. There doesn't seem to be that going on in London. And as a matter of fact, I think yesterday I saw there was even some sort of convoluted effort to maybe do a do-over referendum.
Yeah, that's right. The regrexit, the regret vote now. But yeah, that's what's so complicated about this. Everyone's trying to understand this article, I guess, in the Article 50 in the EU, if you will, constitution that that describes what it's supposed to happen when a country leaves. And it's not from a vote. It really has to be Parliament and the leadership of Britain writing a physical letter and petitioning to leave. They're the ones that have to do it. And right now, I think Angela Merkel's correct, and there doesn't seem to be any haste to do that in Britain, as they are certainly having a lot of regret over what happened on Thursday. So there's that. Question mark, how quickly are they going to do it? You've probably also seen headlines that could take 2 years. I've seen even longer, 3, 4, 5 years. So, what this means is really up in the air.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, Britain's decision to leave the European Union continues to send shockwaves across the globe. The Dow Jones dropped by as much as 335 points early yesterday, but finished off 260, closing at 17,140. The S&P 500 was down nearly 37 points. The tech-heavy Nasdaq fell 113. IKEA has issued a voluntary recall notice for 29 million dressers and chests after finding that they're prone to tipping over if they aren't anchored to a wall. 6 children have been killed, 36 more hurt in accidents dating back to 1989. Volkswagen has agreed to pay $15 billion to settle claims over its diesel cars, which VW admits it rigged to pass emissions tests. The settlement includes payments of up to $10,000 for each vehicle to owners. And Chipotle is rolling out a loyalty program in hopes of drawing customers back into stores following a series of food scares in the last year. They're calling it Chiptopia. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Brexit is the topic this morning. Members of European Union's Parliament met in emergency session this morning to mull over the results of the Brexit referendum. Nigel Farage, head of the UK Independence Party, didn't receive a warm greeting from the body. He called for a quick separation and seemed to take pleasure in last week's referendum results.
When I came here 17 years ago, and I said that I wanted to lead a campaign to get Britain to leave the European Union, you all laughed at me. Well, I have to say, you're not laughing now, are you?
And British Prime Minister Cameron will be meeting with European Union leaders later on this morning. Heather Long of CNN Money is with us this morning. Heather, as we look at the market numbers, they seem to be rebounding today. Is it fair to say that this Brexit sell-off is over, or is this just maybe investors taking a breather from the harshness of the last few days?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's ready to quite say it's over yet. And again, I think it's just what you quoted. There's a lot more to come from the EU that we can learn this week. I will say I sort of expected a bit of a bounce today. I think a really telling point is whenever the stock market's going down, it's always interesting to look at gold. Right. So that's what a lot of people kind of ditch stocks and they go into bonds and they go into gold. And so gold had a huge rally on Friday. It was up about 5%. But yesterday it was up less than 1%. And so you could kind of see that what we call the fear trade slowing down. I will say it's interesting. There also seems to be a lot of people looking for bargain buys. I was talking to Fidelity, a group that many people use to trade or to do their retirement portfolio. And they actually saw from retail investors, so folks like you and me, they saw 2-to-1 buying to selling. So twice as many people were actually buying stocks on Friday and again on Monday. and that was similar. There's an app, a free trading app called Robinhood, and they saw similar types of figures in the past 2 days.
We're also seeing American companies buy back a lot of their stock at much cheaper prices. What impact does this have on the overall market and also the economy?
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone's trying to unpack that, particularly in the United States. I think so a lot of people have been citing the fact that U.S.-UK trade with Britain, it's less than 1% of our economy. It's 0.5 or 0.7, depending upon what year you look at recently. So that's a blip on the screen. Now, that said, Europe is a bigger factor. So the real question, I think, for the United States, for a lot of countries around the world, including China, is they're really watching what happens to Europe. And for a while on Friday, European stock markets were down even lower. Why? Because of that fear. Okay, is Britain just the first one? Is this a domino effect that's going to break up the entire European Union? And that's why that quote you played earlier is so important. What we're starting to see is this immediate kind of rally around the European idea among the countries that are left, and there's still a lot of them. So they're trying to kind of sell the European Union, make the case to people in Italy and France and Germany that this is still worth it and that they will be better off together than alone.
And this is also one of the other things, too. I'm still hearing a lot of people say, well, we're in America. Why should I care about this? Yesterday, I was just doing a check of some of the Chicago, Illinois-based stocks. United Airlines getting hit hard. Also, Boeing being hit hard. Why, if it is just 1%, are they being hit? What's the apparatus behind that?
Yeah, it's interesting with the airlines. So there was a lot of focus on how banks were really hit, but with airlines, so there's I'm not an airline expert. But there's a lot of complicated rules that govern where planes can fly, and so London is a huge hub for many airlines for all of us who, when we hopefully go on our European vacations one day. And so anyway, airlines also took a huge hit because it's very unclear if. They probably will work it out, but to be honest, flying through London may not be the best transit point anymore because it's possible that the European Union could play hardball and say, no, your planes coming out of London won't be able to fly over certain parts of our airspace now. Again, it's unlikely they'll probably do that. I think they want to stay as connected as possible, but you know, there's a lot of concern right now about what those new agreements are going to have to look like.
Yeah, Boeing recovered a little bit yesterday. There's pre-market. They're down still, but it's just 3% over the last few days. United, that's a different story, off about 8%. So it is making an impact. So for our portfolios, I saw some reporting that you did earlier and others just about how much our portfolios, and we always tell people don't look at your portfolio, but you did,
yeah.
And it's quite surprising.
Well, it certainly gives you some jitters. So I looked yesterday night too and kind of went, whoa. So a figure that I like to look at, there's a great group called Openfolio, and it's like a portfolio tracking and comparison app that allows you to compare to others. And I looked at their app yesterday, and in the past 2 days, since the close of Thursday, since Britain voted, we realized that Britain was voting for Brexit. Most U.S. investors, the average U.S. investor, has lost just over 5%. So that's a big hit, but, you know, we're not talking about the sort of 10% drop that we were starting to see last summer in August when there was that real freak out about what China was doing. So I'm trying to tell myself, look, this is like a good stress test on your portfolio, right? So, you know, we like to invest in stocks and maybe a little bit of bonds, maybe commodities to try to diversify our portfolios. And this is a very good look at what happens when, you know, when something totally uncertain comes and hits your portfolio. You can kind of see, am I down 5% more or less? Do I feel comfortable with the level of risk that my portfolio is taking? So most people don't want to make any adjustments, but I think it's a good kind of reality check. How comfortable am I with the level of risk that I have?
And after seeing all of this initial stuff unfold, there are effects, ripples that go through almost just every aspect of life. I was reading a story yesterday in one of my science journals about how the Brexit might actually affect science research and medical research.
That's right. That's a very interesting point. Some of my colleagues over in London, they actually rented a caravan and they were driving around talking to people in the weeks leading up to the vote. And they stopped off at the University of Cambridge, so one of the major research universities in the United Kingdom. And you're right, that was the point that they were most concerned about, was the science research. So, you know, again, I have a friend in the UK, and he works at the European Research Center for Physics, which happens, and one of those happens to be located in the United Kingdom. So what happens to that? Do they still, you know, they have a European Space Agency. Does Britain no longer be able to send their scientists and astronauts to be part of that? So you're right. That's actually one of these big uncertainties about moving forward.
Heather Long, senior stock market and economy writer, CNN Money, at CNN Money. You can follow Heather at by Heather Long on Twitter. Heather, always good to talk with you.
You too, Steve.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It is 5:40. Welcome back to The Opening Bell on the WGN Market Watch. This morning we're watching markets generally higher, as Vic has told you. We're going to continue our coverage with Brexit. We'll go live to London momentarily here on The Opening Bell to talk with Tom Rivers about some of what's been transpiring as you slept last night. We want to update some other business stories that we haven't been able to get to this morning and through the last 24 hours because of all the Brexit stuff, some important stuff that you need to know. First, IKEA has agreed to recall about 29 million chest and drawer dressers after as many as 6 toddlers were killed by falling furniture, according to the Federal Consumer Product Safety Commission. A formal announcement expected later today. Consumer experts say the problem is easily prevented by anchoring the furniture to the wall. At least half of the toddler deaths were caused by the MALM, M-A-L-M, dresser, says Rachel Weintraub with the Consumer Federation of America.
We know of too many incidents of children that have been killed or seriously injured as a result of dipping furniture.
Weintraub says this is not just an issue for parents.
Even if someone may not have a child now, they could have a child visiting or could have a child eventually.
And so what should you do? Weintraub says customers should contact IKEA as soon as possible.
In order for consumers to protect their families, they need to return the product, get a refund. There are also opportunities to have someone from IKEA come to your home to attach the product, attach the dresser to your wall.
Again, the announcement coming later today from IKEA. This involves the MALM, M-A-L-M, dresser at IKEA. Also today, the summer recess fast approaching. Congress still hasn't passed any kind of funding for Zika virus. The reason Democrats are not happy that Republicans have added to the bill things that have nothing to do, they say, with preventing the virus from spreading. The latest from ABC News correspondent Andy Field in Washington.
Both parties agree the United States must spend money to research a vaccine or ways to prevent the Zika virus. The difference? Republicans in charge want to cut funding to Planned Parenthood as part of the bill, something Democrats insist they will block or, in the president's case, veto. The bottom line, the Senate bill unlikely to pass this week, once again delaying scientists from solving the problem.
Here's a story that we wanted to bring you yesterday but didn't have time for the story because of Brexit. It was a new report from Bankrate.com about the best cities in the U.S. for retirement. The report found that Arlington, Virginia is the best American city for those planning to retire, followed by Franklin, Tennessee and West Des Moines, Iowa. According to the study, the worst place to retire is Niagara Falls, New York, whose ratings suffered because of high taxes, of course, cold and snowy weather, and an above-average crime rate. Again, that's the best cities to retire, according to Bankrate.com. Also this morning, Airbnb is suing the city of San Francisco over a new law requiring short-term rental companies to remove unregistered hosts from their website. The new San Francisco Chronicle is reporting the company has filed suit Monday in federal court in California, seeking an injunction to suspend the law, which is set to take effect on July 27th. The new law would make companies like Airbnb, HomeAway, VRBO, and FlipKey liable for big fines and criminal penalties if they showcase listings that lack the city's required registration number. This is a fight that obviously many cities across the country will be watching, sued against San Francisco by Airbnb. And those are some of the big stories making your money news this morning here on the Opening Bell. We're going to go live to London to get the latest update on Brexit from Tom Rivers when the Opening Bell continues.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 547 on the WGN market desk this morning. Dow futures about 190 higher. S&P and NASDAQ futures higher as well. The latest on commodities now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Let's begin the report this morning with a look at crop conditions. The weekly report showing very little change despite concerns over weather. The corn crop now rated 75%, good to excellent, same as a week ago. And the Illinois, Iowa, Indiana area, anywhere from 71% in Illinois to 79% in Iowa. But when you find the best condition corn crop, Wisconsin, 86% rating. Soybean conditions, well, that number came out. It is 72%, down 1% from a week ago. Again, the best soybean crop in Wisconsin, 84% reported good to excellent. As we take a look at market activity, the soybean market ended up on bargain buying yesterday, and we're doing some pretty good foreign sales. USDA announced another sale of 132,000 tons of soybeans, and that announcement yesterday followed confirmation from USDA on Friday that exporters sold another 411,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to unknown destinations. Hogs, though, hog futures, Mercantile Exchange, fell to a three-week low yesterday following the quarterly pig crop report that came out Friday, showing a pretty good increase in the number of hogs that will be coming to market. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. Now, the latest on the Brexit issue in the UK. Here is what's happening right now. The latest from that is this. The British Prime Minister will be meeting later on this morning with EU members. There's a special session ongoing of the European Union, a special meeting today. The Dutch presidency of the EU mounting pressure on Britain to make haste with its plans to withdraw. Also today, the mayor of London says that city, a capital, needs more autonomy to adjust to the new reality of Britain leaving the European Union. He's delivered a speech. Sadiq Khan, to business leaders, says that more autonomy needed to protect the economy from all of the uncertainty that lies ahead. And then there was a speech this morning by an EU member, Jeanine Hennis-Plasschaert, who says this about the European Union vote and the aftermath.
The shock of the referendum should be a wake-up call to us all. Whether we like it or not, the sentiments of a large part of the British voters are shared in many other EU member states. So we will have to do better.
The EU's Jeanine Hennis-Plasschaert, again, the EU meeting in special session today. She went on to say that there is respect for the decision by the UK, but also deep, deep regret. She closed her speech by saying that London, United Kingdom, will always be a member of Europe and a close and valued ally. Then the interesting other tidbit from this today, can the path toward Brexit set in motion last Friday be reversed? If you were listening to the first half of the broadcast today, you heard Heather Long talk about this. European Union, apparently there is a clause that says it's apparently clause number, article number 50 of the treaty that says it's actually Parliament that has to make the decision to leave the European Union, that it can't be necessarily a referendum. Big question is, will that be sort of the eject button from this? There was a movement in the UK to maybe do a redo, a do-over vote, but that doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And there's been talk by those who voted for this to keep moving forward with the decision that's made. As a matter of fact, I remember one report coming from London that said if Parliament did anything other than respect the will of the people, that there would be lots of protests and rioting in the street. So, again, the markets are reacting to all of this today a little bit better. The Dow futures are up about 189 points. The S&P futures are up about 20 points. The NASDAQ futures are up about 40 points. Each of those about 1% in their volume and price for the overall market. In Europe, markets generally higher today. In Asia, we're also seeing markets that are generally higher as well. The Nikkei closed up about 13 points. That's not much, just about 0.1%. But again, Europe is the big story on that. Most of the market indices are up 2.5% to 3.5%. And that's good news considering what we saw over the last few days. We'll be watching all of this throughout the morning with your money here on 720 WGN, following closely what's happening with the European Union. Speaking of that, let's go live to London now. ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers is with us on the line from the foreign desk. And Tom, we were speaking a little earlier with CNN Money correspondent Heather Long about this possible clause that Article 50 of the EU Charter. Is this potentially an out for the UK or no?
Well, it's a kind of a tool, if you will. If you have a certain kind of... You have to have a certain kind of a tool to require to extradite yourself from the European Union. Never been employed before. It came into the writing of the Lisbon Treaty. And basically, the people in Brussels say, invoke it now. Invoke it next hour. And David Cameron says, no, you're going to get it when you get it. And we're not going to have an election for probably 10 weeks. So whoever follows on from Cameron, you're going to have Article 50 invoked then. So in essence, nothing happens. It's as if Britain is still in the European club, at least through September, and then things will dramatically change, but not until then.
I feel like we're talking from the rooftops of London here to the Murrow boys, so we have a little technical difficulties with you, Tom, but I think maybe we can get in one more question here. There's, you know, a lot of uncertainty moving forward here. Even the mayor of London has said that he's concerned, wants more autonomy to deal with issues there. Are people really, and there was this, I heard yesterday, maybe a do-over vote referendum. I mean, are people regretting this decision, or is that just something the media is picking up on?
It's more of a media manifestation. Anecdotally, you'll hear some people say that, but even David Cameron says, look, we can look at the numbers. The numbers say they are what they are, and that's how we move forward.
Okay. I think we have lost Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent, with us with the very latest on the Brexit issue. Again, we'll be following this throughout the morning here on WGN with Your Money and on the Steve Cochran Show. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of the Opening Bell.